This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Dana Babers, later this hour, Dave Dorn in the Power Hour.
Dana off a bye week.
Yep, chilling out. Had that sweet-looking Syracuse Tommy Bahama Dino Babers collection going on last week in press conference.
Yeah.
It was nice. Conference cuts.
That's it.
Dave Dorn looking for respect, so he's come to the right place. He's coming to Packer and Durham.
He's coming to respect. He's coming.
You may not get it by certain AP voters or whatever Dave's upset
but you
about.
You get it here.
But you get it here.
Oh, you get it here. We sell it right up here on the shelves.
Plus, I do remember, I have two. This is. Let me just say this real quick before we get to the best and worst of the weekend. There's two coaches, two ACC football coaches, that I have made a commitment to as far as the ACC championship is concerned. All right? To get, be sure you get this coffee swallowed.
I got the coffee swallowed before you start telling me about deals you've struck.
I've struck two deals.
Okay.
Deal number one, this hat right here. See this right here? This is the last Packer and Durham hat.
On the planet.
I told Pat Narduzzi, head football coach at Pitt, you get to Charlotte, I'm giving you the hat. I'm going to personally deliver it.
Yeah.
If you remember when we were in Raleigh to start the college football season.
That's right.
I looked at Dave Dorn. He delivered pancakes to us, remember?
I remember that.
And I said to Coach, you win the ACC championship, we're eating pancakes. He's on. There's the two deals I've made with coaches.
Is that like after the game you're going to eat pancakes with him? Or?
Whenever he can make, whenever he can squeeze it. If NC State wins it, I'm eating pancakes with Dave Dorn.
Okay.
Those are the only two deals I cut this year.
I got you. All right.
And here we are in November.
And we have a chance.
For Pitt NC State. Could very well be the ACC championship.
In Charlotte, right.
Just saying. All right. Best and worst of the weekend.
We're going to start with the Wolfpack. Yep. Top of the list.
Number one.
Yep. Florida State goes to Tallahassee. Wins and shuts down Florida State's run game.
Thought that was the key. Florida State number two rushing attack. NC yep. State number two stopping the run. Who would win the battle of strength versus strength? Again, I know the Noles were beat up with the flu bug, but guess what? We knew what time the kickoff was. 4 p.m. Eastern time Saturday afternoon.
Look at
38 yards rushing. That's all you got, Florida State.
Yep.
NC State won the battle up front.
Three snaps, and twice I saw number 10 stick his nose in from the safety.
The defense, man.
I knew Tanner Engel would be a huge piece if they were going to shut the run down.
And they've lost four defensive starters, and it just is like, hey, next man up, we got to go.
That's
right. Let's go. They really played well all year.
Clemson used the goal line stand late to get Louisville Saturday night. 30-24 the final. Four cracks inside the five. Oh, sweep style play. No. Skalski there. Skalski's unbelievable, by the way. Just a sense of where he is with the football. No.
Mickens, I tell you what.
Mickens has a big play. And here's the fourth down.
Look at number three.
Yeah.
There you go. Xavier Thomas. That play had no chance to work.
None.
You know, in fact, that play on fourth down reminded me of the North Carolina Clemson going for two. It was almost like the same play. And there was nothing but white shirts waiting at the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Like that play had no chance to work.
Exactly. So that was best of the weekend, the goal line stand. Jalen Stinson of Duke is best of the weekend.
West Durham with the call.
86 yards. Secret to kick returns in the new world on the run. I'm convinced of it. If you can catch the ball on the run – and have the seam, you're gone. Why? Because they kick it higher. Typically, they either kick it through the end zone or they kick it short. If you catch it on the run, you got a shot.
Tell you what, it was a woodshed job, but it was a aesthetically pleasing to the eye uniform game.
Well, first of all, Pitt wore the classics.
Pitts are just...
They wore the classics out there.
Pitt and Florida State, to me, are 1-2.
Yeah. And Duke's royal blue head to toe, not bad.
It's not, and I'm not a pro.
Yeah, I'm not a pro single color all the way through.
But theirs is okay.
Tell you what I liked about Duke, though. We went the old script on the side.
Yeah.
The old Spurrier Duke. The old Red Wilson Duke.
Red means go.
That does mean go. That's what it did do, too. All right. Phil Jurkovec returns from injury. Boston College snaps a four-game losing skid. already told you, big number five showed up. This dude's tough now. We can talk all about all the other Jazz, the arm talent, and this, that, and the other thing. Look at this. You came off a broken hand, Pike, and you go diving in the end zone, and this is what he does really good.
You're going to see that play later in wide receiver U.
You should.
And, you know, you throw Djurkovic in the mix of all the quarterbacks in this league. And now, we haven't seen him for the most part, right?
Right.
And he's been gone since week two.
Yep.
Just think about, again, this conference.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett, Brennan Armstrong, Sam Howell.
That's right.
Sam Hartman.
Yeah.
Malik Cunningham. The list goes on. And now we're going to throw Phil Djurkovic back.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody in the country even close to quality of depth that quarterback play the Atlantic Coast Conference.
There you go.
Not even close.
Cam Kelly of Carolina. Congratulations. You got a couple of picks off Sam Hartman in the win over the Deeks.
That's the first one. The second one was the key, though.
Oh, yeah. Is he gone sweatband, headband around the neck?
I think a bunch of guys are a bit chilly.
We got a lot of towels there, too. Cam Kelly got a lot of towels.
You know,
a double towel guy?
I got to tell you, that uniform combo?
No. No, not a fan.
No, it's not doing
now,
it. For me,
had you gone light blue helmet, navy blue top, white pants? Yes.
You know,
they
got to
been there.
You know who wears dark blue?
Who?
Duke.
They wear royal blue.
Yeah, they wear dark blue. You know where's Carolina blue, Wes?
Carolina, yeah. Bold boys in bashful blue. That's what the voice of Dario used to say years ago.
Well aware of it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Is that what you're saying? No more Navy for the Tar Heels?
I don't like it. I've never liked
Choo Choo Justice wore Navy.
I don't care.
Art Wine?
I don't even care. North Carolina wears Carolina blue.
What about Banks McFadden? Did he always
wear orange? It's like Ole Miss taking credit now.
For red?
Nobody wears light blue like we do. Get lost.
Oh, Ole
please.
Miss. Come on, man.
Get out of here.
Come on,
that
Ole Miss.
Nonsense.
Didn't you have a bad enough weekend? Come on. Didn't you? Huh? Come on. They don't need to be talking about that. Light blue. Ole Miss. No. No.
It's only
that
one.
That robin egg blue Ole Miss wears?
There's only one that wears it. And they're in Chapel Hill. Period. Don't get cute with it.
49 states and the District of Columbia, Pack.
I just, you know, I saw them come out of the tunnel and I was like,
all right, we'll pass that along to Coach Brown. Let him know.
He's probably watching right now.
Pitt offense, 636 yards against
Duke.
Fight. Yep. 54-29. Kenny Two Gloves.
And we've seen these highlights. Here's Duke. Anybody. There's somebody.
That's a pretty throw, too. Oh, that's the scramble. Sorry. 22 yards. By the way, beat Jalen Alexander to the pylon. You surprised at the mobility?
No, huh? I'm not. Surprised he's
putting it on people now.
Surprised Duke held him under 60.
Ty Chandler, 213 and 4 scores against the Deacons.
Look good.
Mm-hmm.
The last one he put away from 50 yards
yeah,
out.
Yeah, he did.
And that was, I mean, good night.
Ty Chandler will be with us on Wednesday.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, travel day before the Thursday night tilt at Pittsburgh.
Wake Forest really got banged up in this game in their secondary, and it showed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
Nobody tackling.
The thing I worry about the Deeks is the attrition that's going to take place here in the last third of the season.
Yep. They've had a hard time stopping the run. Guess what NC State likes to do?
Run. Yeah, Saturday night, Truist Field, Winston-Salem. I'm expecting a big house, by the way, at Truist Field
Saturday night. It should be beyond belief.
Dave and Tim Hasselbeck and Kelsey Riggs, they should have an unbelievable – the Harley needs to be cranked up. The chopper needs to be cranked up.
Swiss flags need to be out Saturday night.
Yeah, that's it. Charleston Rambo.
It's on.
Yeah. Charleston Rambo, thank you. 7 for 210 and a touch against the Jackets.
How good's he been down the stretch?
I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. I don't want it. It's going to sound like bad, and I don't mean for it to sound bad. Tyler Van Dyke's arrival has coincided with Charleston Rambo being a factor. I'm sorry. It just has. Fair?
That's spot on.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't want to do that to De'Aaron King. I don't want to do that to Miami. I'm not trying to do that to your year, but Rambo and Van Dyke got something going.
You know, De'Aaron King's game is very different than Van Dyke's.
Yeah, but it also benefits Rambo, apparently.
No, well, Van Dyke reminds me of the old school Miami quarterbacks that would get back there and say, guess what? We're going vertical, and yeah, we're going to throw it, and you can't do anything about it. That's why when he was on with us last week, I asked him a question, you know, compare your game to what former Miami quarterback? I thought his answer was interesting, even when he went Ken Dorsey on us.
Right.
But, man, I'm telling you what now, TV dinner is good to go. And he is going to be a problem in this league for years to come.
Fuller,
much like Fuller is to you right now.
Fuller, can I help you down here? I mean,
he
can
just Fuller be your spot?
Yeah,
Fuller. I told you from day one when we did this show.
I got it. Yeah,
Fuller, the rescue lab.
Yeah.
Loves human touch.
Right, like here.
When he goes to take a nap, he sleeps on people's feet. He does. That's what he does.
All right, big
and
fella.
Right now, you're in his way.
Yeah, I'm in his way. Yeah, you bet. Not the fact that I'm in my chair doing what I need to do, but Fuller's right there, just in case. All right, Pitt's defense, half dozen sacks on Saturday at Wallace Wade Stadium against Duke.
Yeah.
The Panthers get after the Blue Devils. I don't know that we've gotten any word on Gunnar Holmberg. There's Cam Bright, by the way. You're going to see Cam Bright again. Oof. Gunnar Holmberg shaken up in the ball game, did not play in the second half. And there you go, right there. That's the one that.
Duke and Virginia Tech this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's the middle game of the triple header here on ACC Network. Feels like a battle of attrition, doesn't it?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
In every sense of the word, from top to bottom.
All right. Let's change gears here. You want to get the back scratchers? Carolina 1, Virginia nothing. Best of the weekend, Karen Shelton wins another ACC field hockey championship. Aaron Mattson, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, guess who was in the middle
bang. Of that? Bang. Wow, look at this. Great camera angle. Stop it. Seriously. How about her?
I saw a stat yesterday, and I don't know where I read it, but I can't give the official credit to it. But apparently, Aaron Mattson's now played in 21 postseason games
mm-hmm.
and has either scored or assisted in all of them. Is that any good? When you know, hey, we got to stop Mattson. She's not beating us. She beats everybody.
Did you see the shot, though?
I just watched
it. That's crazy.
I put this list together.
I know.
Okay.
But, I mean, it. She gets the ball. I mean, if I hit the thing with that stick.
You got that shot. You got it, Wes.
Mind.
Wes.
Stop it. All right, let's move along.
A little feathered eight iron.
No,
yours?
That's not a feathered eight iron.
Huh?
No, stop it. All right, next.
How about a hooded seven iron?
Florida State.
Is that more like it?
Stop.
Low and snap.
Florida State defeats Virginia 1-0 to claim their eighth women's ACC soccer championship in the last 11 years,
shot.
And there's the one.
And by the way, this was number one in the country, Virginia, against number two in the country, Florida State. Not just one, two seeds in the league. No. One and two in the country. Krikorian, man. He knows what he's doing. Florida State women's soccer.
Commissioner.
Yeah,
handing
yeah.
out the hardware.
Hey, he said he's going to all of them.
Dude is everywhere.
He is not going to miss a beat.
No, he did great.
And he's going casual, too. I kind of like
ball
casual.
Ball cap.
I like casual Commissioner Jim when he comes in. Because I didn't even recognize him in South Bend. I was expecting coat and tie because he's always buttoned up.
Yeah.
The man.
Right.
He showed up rain gear. Looked like he was ready to go out there and feather a few 8-irons out there.
All right. Valentin Noel, friend of the show.
Our guy.
This show is called?
Who are you guys again?
Who are you guys again?
Doink ball game.
Valentin Noel, 2 goals. Pitt beats Virginia Tech 2-1 in double overtime. What is the show called again? Look at that.
He's a bad man now.
30 player.
Yeah.
That's right. Let's go Aaron Rodgers.
So the men are down to the semis, right, which get cranked up Friday. Championship on Sunday coming up. A lot of chalk so far in the tournament.
There's only
been one home team that did not hold serve, and that was Louisville, who lost the penalty kicks yesterday to Notre Dame. Everybody else at home has advanced.
Look at Packer.
I'm all over it.
Look at Packer on the pitch.
That's it. You know how much I'm all over soccer.
We need some graphics and animation for you in soccer talk.
Well, we definitely do need to do that. Everybody was scoring, though, yesterday, with the exception of Louisville-Notre Dame. That was a nil-nil, a West Durham special.
That's right, nil-nil.
Penalty kick.
When we come back, worst of the week.
Yeah, there's some on here. Hate to do it to you.
Oh, no. We got a few here. Jeremiah Gimmel's targeting call. Is that on worst of the weekend?
A lot of targeting
calls. Is that on worst of the weekend?
That is right
there. Porter Wilson now, son. We're going to have a talk, too.
Man, that was brutal.
Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham.
Presented by Subway.
We enjoyed that. Had one this weekend, matter of
fact. Eat fresh, refresh. Right here.
I didn't refresh. I just ate fresh this weekend. Subway.
Well, you refresh at lunch today.
Mrs. P was gone this weekend, so.
Still out of town, right?
Oh, yeah. She's coming back there today.
Batching it. Big Packer weekend.
Well, it was a mellow weekend for me. Really was. For my standard, it was a very mellow weekend. Yeah.
Just sit there and watch all the ball you want, couldn't you?
I watched a ton
of
ball.
Nobody bothered you? Nobody
took a
talked
ton of notes,
to you?
Tons of notes.
Did you answer any phone calls, texts, anything?
I don't talk to people.
That's exactly right.
Unless you call.
I'm not
unless
calling.
You call or an executive at ESPN
or
SiriusXM.
They're not calling.
They don't call me.
No, they don't.
Which is great. It's a two-way street. I don't call them either.
That's it.
Same thing with SiriusXM. I got executives from those two companies or you. That's it.
Yeah. After Thursday, though, it's all gravy. All right. Worst of the weekend coming up.
Yeah, there's some on here that I'm not real proud of, but I had to put them on the list.
Virginia Tech. Friday night, and Eric McLean, tour of America.
I was happy that Eric was doing games, but I was not, you know, I'm married to a Hokie, first of all.
Sure, that's right. We've been stated.
And even my Hokie wife, before she left town, was like, gosh, we don't look very good, do we? I said, no. Hokies don't look too
struggle.
Hot. I said lifeless.
235 yards and 3 points.
That's not going to get it against anybody. I don't care how good your defense is.
There's the former Rome Wolf, Knox Kadem.
And here's the thing, too, Wes. Like I told you, you beat Georgia Tech. You're thinking, okay, can we put a little back-to-back action here and finish strong in November? Because you know you're going to play BC in the red bandana night. You know you're going to have to match the intensity on the other side. I mean, a moron could have told you that.
Right.
Because I said that to you last week. You knew you had to match that. And then you're going to throw Field Jakovic on top of it.
That's it.
I mean, you really better match.
Uh-huh.
And offensively, they just did zero.
Yeah.
I mean, zip.
Off to Tallahassee, where apparently some of you think Devin Leary's interception streak being snapped had something to do with the Packer and Durham program. I got to tell you, we got to get rid of this transitive influencing, apparently, that people are thinking about.
Well, you did bring it up.
It was in the notes.
Yeah, well, you did bring it up. And I was like, no, don't go there. And, I'm going to tell you something.
And by the way, I don't think the P&D jinx on the graphic is necessary at this point.
Well, that goes to the smart people in Bristol.
I really don't think that's necessary.
I don't like that counts as an interception. I don't like the Hail Mary counting for an interception.
Makes y'all feel any better. I said during the Duke game that in previewing Florida State and NC State, I said Devin Leary had the third longest interception streak behind Russell Wilson and Ryan Finley.
I think one of our questions, in addition to all of this, was would he throw one before the end of the year? And we both said yes.
Yeah, and we were right. Yeah. How's that a jinx?
Well, Devin Leary's been great, though, man.
Well, I can't understand.
It's so good.
All right, let's go to something else.
Oh, this play. Oh, yeah.
Just watch the punter, Porter Wilson. Okay, John Patrician runs into him. It's a 5-yard penalty. Porter Wilson goes for the Oscar.
Here's something you'll never see.
Now, that is a penalty. Now, this is not.
That right there.
What is that, Porter?
Was a 100-pound lead flag.
Really? Porter, can we roll that one more time? I want to get the full effect.
It's a 100-pound lead flag.
Did the flag even hit him is the question.
It whiffed him. This is brutal. This had Premier League soccer written all over it.
It didn't even hit him.
Gosh. And then he talks to the ref like, hey.
It didn't even hit him.
Oh, my God.
I got shot.
Is there a sniper at the Wallace Wade Outdoor? What's going on?
And here's the other part about the play. Patrician runs into him, but it's after the ball has left his foot. Okay? So that's why it's the 5 yard. It could have been 15, as Roddy said on the broadcast. He's right. That's neither here nor there. But when the ball leaves his foot, it's a bad punt, as evidenced by where the ball went. Nonetheless, that's how it all ends up on Worst of the Weekend.
When I saw it, I said, it's on the list. On the list. No brainer.
Florida State, 2 for 16 on third downs against NC State.
That's not good, Wes.
No, sir.
No.
Jordan Travis sick. Bunch of Knowles out with the flu. And just didn't go well. Remember, too, Chubba Purdy had announced he was in the portal.
Yeah, there was nothing good about any of that. Yeah. That flu bug must be brutal in Florida. Yeah. Because not only did the Knowles have it, the Gators really had it.
Did they? Did they announce it?
Afterward, Dan Mullen said they had like 30 guys.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, after they got
beat
woodshedded by
South Carolina.
The mighty Gamecocks.
Yeah.
That's quite an effort there.
Wake and Carolina combined for 22. Count them. 22 penalties. Oh, Jeff Flanagan busy.
They figured for every 5 points scored, we'll throw a flag, right? I mean, goodness gracious.
Young man from Hickson, Tennessee. There's a targeting on Jeremiah Gimmel that got him the sidecar.
He gone.
Dave Clawson's like, are we having more penalties?
Well, Jeff Flanagan
appearing in a speaking role.
They were consistent. There was 11 apiece.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's about as even a game as you'd ever want.
Yeah.
Points, penalties, you name it.
Miami won by 3 against Georgia Tech. That's also the same number of fumbles they had in the first half. What are we doing?
Fumble.
Good thing Charleston Rambo had 200 yards, right?
TV dinner, putting it right on the money. 3 fumbles in one half, Wes.
And they won the game.
And won the game?
Wow. How about that?
This team's playing with some swagger, though, man. Despite all those screw-ups.
Yeah.
You like the all-whites for Georgia Tech there on the road?
Stormtroopers?
You like those?
No.
You don't like those, mm-hmm. All right?
I don't want the gold helmet.
Do you like the Miami green?
I like the Miami green.
I do, too.
I like the Georgia Tech all-white if I had gold helmet.
Okay.
That's just me, though.
I got you.
Louisville, fourth quarter lead? Not so much. Sweep to Jalen Mitchell.
Tell you what, though, Cale Cunningham, I know he got injured third quarter, came back and played. Man, he is dynamic, though, isn't he? Golly, he just floats. Floats.
Yep.
Clemson sniffed out that play right there, though. They were not going to score on that play. Heck of a game.
Well, you're right about Louisville. About mid-December, all of it's going to kick in.
They're all going to look back, right? Every one of them. And they're going to go, man, remember the Virginia game?
Coulda, shouldas. We're going to have some coulda, shouldas for some teams, aren't
remember
we?
Remember the Clemson game? Remember the Wake Forest game? Remember the NC State game? And they're going to sit back and go, goodness gracious.
Right.
We are so close to being right where we want to be.
Yeah.
So close.
They're going to do their Christmas shopping.
But this game this week with Syracuse,
get in the car and go, oh.
It's an important game this weekend for both of them.
Oh, absolutely.
From a momentum standpoint,
well, that's why we
bowling,
got
Dino coming up.
That's why we got the coach of the Orange coming up here in about 16
big
minutes.
Big game.
On the other side, Packer been doing some research.
I ran across, speaking of Louisville, I'll tell you how, real quick. I was messing around with Louisville. No, I like to mess with numbers, as you know, on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was messing around with Louisville numbers and stumbled into a Clemson number that is going to blow you away. You're going to think it is impossible what we're about ready to tell you in the next segment.
All right. On the other side, Clemson and a third quarter number from Pack that you just like, you got to be kidding. It's a you got to be kidding, not a did you know. Number on the Tigers when we come back. Packer and Durham's Monday. offered to you by our friends at Subway.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, don't forget, week 11 of ACC football starts Saturday morning, 10 a.m. with the huddle presented by Marathon. And Coach Rick's back this week. Congratulations to him on being honored by the University of Georgia on Saturday at the half of the ball game against Missouri. Jordan Cornette, E.J. Manuel, Eric McClain. Join the coach for a full preview of week 11.
Hey, Mark Rick, can I say something to Coach real quick? This week, I'm going to let you slide last week because it was a great honor. This week, you got to bag the Georgia sweatshirt. You can't wear that on the air.
I knew it was coming.
I turned on. I was sampling everybody on Saturday.
I thought it was Bulldog game day when I turned it on.
I go, excuse me, on ACC Network, what's that sweatshirt doing?
What are we doing there?
We love Coach Rick. We hope he's doing well. But you better not be wearing it this week.
No more Bulldog gear, no. Right?
I get the networks right.
Oh, yeah. You can go down the dial.
Yeah, you can go down the street, wear that all you want.
Down Johnson Road.
Take a right, yeah. The light.
That's it.
Can't miss.
All right. You started messing with numbers.
I told you. I was messing
and I'm going to tell you, when Packer starts messing with numbers, sometimes good things happen. Sometimes. More often than not, though, it's not good. So whenever we talk about messing with numbers and you're worried about your school...
I think it's always been good because I come up with some great nuggets, Wes.
You've come up with great nuggets, but sometimes those nuggets are not great.
No, and they normally start on something that concerns me.
That's what I mean.
All right, well, you should have said that.
Every once in a while, they turn out good. Other times, it's like this.
You know, I'm glad the Falcons won. I can't even imagine what you'd be like today had you lost that lead.
Blown an 18-point lead.
You would have been a joy this
Surly
morning.
Surly somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have been. Get you on that train.
Would have been kind of right there.
No, I'm way ahead of you today. But I started messing around with Louisville after watching the game Saturday night.
Right.
Here they go. They lose another fourth quarter lead. And like, for crying out loud. So I started thinking, all right, Louisville football, what are you doing in the fourth quarter? So I started messing with those numbers. And while I was doing it, I stumbled across another number. And this was basically, this is so ridiculous about what we're getting ready to show you. Mm-hmm. That you wonder, how in the world can they win any games? This one particular team. And it started with Louisville, and then I left Louisville. Louisville over here. And it led me down another path.
Okay.
And this goes to the ineptitude of Clemson offensively in the third quarter of games this year.
All right.
This almost looks like a typo with about what we're going to tell you, but it's not.
Okay.
Now, I eliminated the South Carolina State game because they don't have a pulse. Sorry. Okay. Right? I'm talking about football, bowl, subdivision teams.
Sure.
All right? Mm-hmm. So I looked at every ACC team the last time they played a game. Every ACC team. The last time you played a game, how many points did you score in the third quarter? All right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's run down this list real quick. This is every ACC team. All right? The last time you teed it up, did you score in the third quarter? Yes, we did. Here are the points. Syracuse had 21 when they played a week and a half ago.
Right.
Wake had 17 Saturday. Florida State 14. Pitt 14, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's got points, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now look at the numbers. 7-7-7-7-7. Duke and Virginia Tech only scored 3. Clemson got shut out. So you're thinking, all right, Pack, big deal. So Clemson didn't score in the third quarter. They haven't scored hardly anything in the third quarter all year long.
Except against South Carolina State.
Take them out. I said right. Football, bowl, subdivision teams.
Yeah.
Clemson has scored a grand total of 6 points for the year against their 8 football, bowl, subdivision teams that they've played.
Excuse me?
6 total. 2 field goals. That's it. You're done. Now, you go back to that little list that we just gave you about how many points did your ACC team score the last time they played a game. Everybody in the league scored more points the last time you kicked off in the third quarter, with the exception of Duke and Virginia Tech, than Clemson has scored for the season in the third quarter. Now let that marinate a second. And you're thinking, well, if that's true, how do they ever win a game? How do you win a game? They're 6-3. Is that crazy?
That is completely bananas. That is... So Syracuse scores 21 points in the third quarter of their most recent game. That's 2.5 times, 3 times what Clemson has scored all year in the third quarter.
You got it.
That's nuts.
That's almost like impossible, isn't it?
That's nuts. All right. How in the world? Are you going to ask Dabo this on Thursday?
I'm almost afraid to ask him that. Now, they scored, for the record, by the way, against South Carolina State, they scored 14 points in the third quarter.
Okay.
Okay, so great, right? I mean, yeah. Tremendous. So 20 for the year.
All right, but now there's got to be some place where there's a pickup.
Well, the good news is their defense is still ridiculous.
Right. Okay.
I mean, that's the deal. But that is hard to believe.
Let me also tell you that there are actually 2 teams in the country, according to the Lumberjacks, that average less points in the third quarter than Clemson does on offense.
Which is even harder to believe.
Oklahoma State being one of them. Aren't they involved in like the Big 12 too, don't they?
Top 10.
Yeah. 1.89. Northwestern, 2.11. Clemson, 2.22 is tied with Navy, who's not having a great year.
No.
New Mexico State, another not having a great year. And Southern Miss, not having a great year. You know what that is? It tells you how good they are defensively.
I think I just said that.
Correct. All right. Now, Power 5. Games against the Power 5. Clemson's averaging 0.75 points in the third quarter.
It's 0.75 points.
There are 4 teams averaging less than a field goal in the third quarter against Power 5 teams. Clemson, Indiana, who's what, 3-2 and something, 3 wins total?
They were proving that last year was a fluke.
Northwestern, not having a great year. And Oklahoma State.
Who is having a good year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bizarro, man. Just kind of stumbled across that thing. But you got them Saturday.
Against the University of Connecticut.
I bet they score more than 6.
In Saturday. The third?
Yeah. I tell you, you better start working on your board right now.
Oh, it's
at
happening.
At 10:01.
It's happening.
Because that you're going to get into third and fourth string guys. You're going to get into some great stories Saturday.
Yeah, the 4-game rule comes into play Saturday, mm-hmm. potentially. The 4-game rule will be alive and well.
Yeah.
You see, too, Clemson is plus 34 in the fourth quarter, which is the second best in the ACC. And that's the logic on quarter scoring sometimes is, if you have a really bad quarter and you're 6-3 like Clemson, you better have another good quarter somewhere down the line. There's Clemson.
Well, you hear that stat where you go in the third quarter and you're thinking, well, that team, how's that team beat anybody?
Yeah.
Right? How are they winning any games?
Yeah.
They're 6-3.
Tell you something else about Saturday night. First time since 1993, Clemson has won consecutive games in which it was trailing in the fourth quarter.
Well, a better one is it's the last time they won back-to-back games when trailing in the fourth quarter was 1974.
Hmm.
You can use that one Saturday.
I will. 74. Was that Red Parker?
Coach Kane.
I think that's Red Parker.
I mean, I'm talking about Coach Kane was to be Coach Kane.
Yeah.
Kane was quarterback.
Right. Let's go to the head football coach of the Tigers talking about winning these fourth quarter comebacks.
Well, it's a little different, you know. We're keeping everybody, you know, we've blown a lot of people out for a lot of years, and everybody complains about that. So hopefully everybody's staying engaged for the last minute. Keeping everybody everybody's attention, that's for sure. So it's gonna make us better. It's gonna make us better.
Well, I would hope so. Right? I mean, goodness. You know, the weird thing about Clemson, though,
yeah,
we are so used to seeing them boat race everybody, right?
Yeah.
You're scoring 40, you're scoring 50, games are over. Guys like yourself are sitting there in the third quarter going, oh, my God, who's number 93 on the four deep?
Right.
This year has been the total opposite with these guys.
Yep.
It's fourth quarter, chewing your nails. You have no idea. Are they going to win? Are they going to lose? Could go one play is the difference between being 6-3 or 3-6. Truly is. It's been crazy watching these guys.
Tigers and UConn's at high noon on Saturday, game one of our triple header here on ACC Network. When we come back, we are off to Central New York. We'll check in on the head coach of the Orange, see how that Week 10 bye treated him, and get his thoughts on a Saturday afternoon game with the Louisville Cardinals on the road. We'll do that when Dino Babers joins us live next on Packer and Durham, presented by Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by Subway. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Dave Dorn will join us next hour, but right now we go to Central New York. Fresh off another recruiting trip, he's ready for another appearance on Packer and Durham and getting ready for Louisville, head coach of the Orange. That'd be the one and only Dino Babers.
A late bye week gives recruiting chances for the Orange last week. So how was the road? How was the late bye week? And now you jump right back into it, Coach.
Well, I'll tell you what, the road was kind to me. There was a lot of traveling and a lot of airports. I want to thank all the Syracuse fans for all the photos and all those other kind of things that were going on in the airport. But we got to see some prospects, and someone was saying, oh, you're out there grinding. And I said, no, I'm out there finding. I'm out there finding out whether they're a yes or finding out whether they're a no. So it's never a grind. It's always a find.
Mm. Well, I know this much, and I was just goofing around with you. Man, I go back to that Virginia Tech game. There's like three or four teams in this league at the end of this season, however it ends, are going to look back and go, son of a gun, we were close. You fall into that category. But I thought the win against Virginia Tech after all those close three-point losses was like the catalyst for a great finish here for your team. I know mentally it had to be great to say, guess what, boys? That's how you do it. Let's go close. Now let's go figure out a way to close November and end this season off on the right note.
You know, I thought it was I totally agree with you. I think it was a big turning point in the season. There comes a point where we talk about faith, belief without evidence in this program, and you have to keep your faith. If you don't have your faith, you don't have anything. But after that, it is nice to have some evidence. And the Virginia Tech win was some evidence, and I think that propelled us not only for the excitement that happened after that game, but it also carried over into the Boston College game the next week.
Coach, when you went with Garrett Schrader full-time, what has he brought to the table here to kind of turn the tide a little bit for your team? I mean, we've talked so much about Sean Tucker, and deservedly so. But it looks like that Schrader's been a great complement to what you and Sterling Gilbert are trying to get done offensively, too.
You know, Garrett brings certain things to the table that are not on a table. It's those it things and the things you're like, well, how come he can get this done? And this doesn't look all that great, but it seems the way to work out. And I just think the guy is really growing, and he's going to get better and better. Now, don't get me wrong. There's room for improvement. And when we finish this season, we're going to have a lot of things to work on. But when you look at the entire package, you kind of like where he's going. Fantastic leader, a guy that gets around to all parts of the program. Hmm. You know, he'll get invited to every party. You know, he's at the frat party. He's at the party with the cool music. He's at the party with the weird music. You know, he's one of those guys. He gets invited all the way across the board, and that's kind of what you want with a quarterback.
I want to fast forward to this week, Coach. We had Satterfield on last week. He talked about, man, team's playing with great balance from being able to run, being able to throw. Loved his offensive line. And you know what? I think about your defense, which has really been consistently good. And I know Malik Cunningham is a magic man back there. He's just great to watch as a fan. This could be a heck of a matchup, man. Their offensive line, your defensive front, kind of feels like strength versus strength a little bit.
You know, I don't know about all that. I love our defense, but I'll tell you what, I love Malik too. I mean, that guy is explosive. You know, you look at him and you go, how'd they get another one after Lamar? But just a fantastic player. And even you even look at what happened in the Clemson game. I know he got banged up. Looked like he got banged up. I shouldn't say I know. But that very last play, you know, you wonder what would have happened if he was full speed and he wasn't limping a little bit. I really think that, you know, you might have had a different winner on that last play if that guy had all his tools to work with on the 2-yard line on fourth down.
I can drill down here a little bit. They've got Malik Cunningham, and in my opinion, you've got one of the best defensive players in the ACC in Cody Roscoe. I mean, I'll go right there. I don't know if you can single that up to one-on-one. I don't know if you want to single it up to one-on-one, but Roscoe's been a major factor in this league this year. Take me through what you see in his development.
You know, Cody was really unique. We had the COVID year, and he was coming up from McNeese State. He was a guy that played for Coach Gilbert, and they thought it was somebody that if he wanted to come up to this level, he could match this level. He could play at this level. Yeah. Last year during the COVID year, I think the body surprised him. The movement of the offensive lineman surprised him. Even though he was moving up taking an enormous jump, you know, he went from the best player in his league to like, wow, these guys can really move. And when you minus the weight training and the conditioning that was really going on during that COVID year, I think it set him back a little bit. But he's one of those guys, if you show him where the well is, he'll go drink the water. And he really changed his body after we came off of those COVID rules. And he really worked on his quickness. Really, he always had great quickness. He worked on his strength, though. And now he came back with a new attitude, so to speak. Is that the record? A new attitude? And yeah. he came back with a new attitude, and you put that attitude and that work ethic with some God-given ability, and I think you have one of the top defensive players in the league, that's for sure.
I think that's Patti LaBelle, by the way, and it's available on vinyl.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. You mentioned this, and I think you spoke about this in one of your media offers earlier this year. Is Tony White's growth with your defense normal now because of what he had to go through last year, and it was almost unfair last year to put that new system in and not be able to have the normal ramp up to a season where you can make adjustments during the course of the year, and now that you've had the normal year, you've kind of gotten a peek as to what defensively this can be for you?
There's no doubt about it. I thought it was either going to be a huge advantage or a huge disadvantage the COVID year. And, you know, obviously I thought we did some eye-opening things on defense that year, but from an offensive standpoint and putting it all together, it was definitely a no. It was we did not win that contest. But now coming off the break and those guys having a taste of it, and again, now knowing the why. Okay, first, the year before it was just do this. Now it's like you have to do this. This is why you have to do this, because if you don't do this, they'll do that. And I think just the comprehension and the understanding of the defense now, you're really starting to see what it might look like if we can keep this thing going.
You know, Coach, when you talk about matchups in this league, I mean, to me, Louisville and Syracuse, given what we have seen so far, seems like the perfect matchup, because both of you have had so many opportunities to close in the fourth quarter. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I'm wondering if we can't fast forward this game to just make like a 30-minute fourth quarter game and just go, hey, go get them. Let it rip. Because it just feels like this could be a fourth quarter game coming up this weekend.
You don't want me to have any hair left on my head, do you? Just 30 minutes of fourth quarter.
Coming from me, that's no big deal, Coach. Believe me, you're better off without it. You don't have anything to worry about in the mornings.
You get ready earlier.
That's
It's probably going to come down to that. I think the two teams are balanced, so to speak. I think we have things that we do that offensively and defensively on both sides that we're going to do, and I'm sure there'll be some trickery in there somewhere, and if the trickery works, then you're a really good coach, and if the trickery's bad, then if it's a close game, everybody's going to ask you, why'd you do that? Why didn't you just stick with what was working? But I do think it's going to be a fourth quarter game, and it's probably going to come down to the last play like most of our games do.
Real quick, last question. Sean Tucker, I know you don't need to stump for him. We can all do that. But he has had a magical year. I know Syracuse fans are thrilled with it. I know he's thrilled with it. You and your staff are. What have you said to him about closing the show here, going down the stretch, and kind of maximizing the year, if that makes sense?
You know, a lot of that stuff is going to be personal. I can tell you that right now. But I will tell you a story. We were on the practice field yesterday, and Sean Tucker, when we get really, really – I wouldn't say the word mad. When we're like, you need to do better, you know, our big thing is we don't want to be saying things that we really don't mean. Mm-hmm. We tell a kid to take a lap, and when he comes back from the lap, we'll talk to him. Sean Tucker had to take his first lap of the season yesterday. And when he got back, we had a nice talk. And I don't mean that, you know, you can take a lap for a lot of things. This is not a confrontation
sure.
between a
right.
a coach and a player, and it's definitely not a confrontation between me. But it was one of those deals where you just got to go, now, you're doing okay, but you're not allowed to do okay anymore. You have to do better than that. Your expectations can't be average. They have to be super above average. And you've got something going here, and you want to make sure that you finish the right way. And man. Sean Tucker's a track guy. He's come out of the blocks. Okay, he's hit the acceleration phase, and his knees are up. His arms are pumping. He's straight in the lane, and he's flowing. Okay, he's flowing. And you're about 8-9 yards from the tape now, and this is where you really got to relax and finish. This is not the time to be trying to do something other than what your training has taught you to do. And I love Sean Tucker. I love everything about him. I love his family, and he knows how I care about him. But it was one of those deals where – hey, he still has to get coached too, but he doesn't have to get coached very much.
Hey, coach, give it to him 40 times.
Give it to
him. 40.
Look,
let him go.
Hey, Dino, here's 40. The deal. Packer sits here and assigns – Packer hands out assignments to head coaches every week. I mean, he's offered, you know, throw it 60 here, give it to a guy 40, you know, the whole bit. I mean, it's unbelievable what I get here.
I think it's okay to announce he'll be starting this week, but I'd give it to him 40 times. I swear to God I would.
Killing me.
I know he is. It's unbelievable. I sit here every week for this.
We're going to go for the record right here.
Hey, always 40. Great to see you. Best of luck Saturday. By the way, Lamar Jackson will be there. They're retiring his number, but apparently he's not going to dress for the game. So, you know, you don't have to contend with that.
You know, I'll still tell you guys this story. The Lamar had the little deal. You know, he had his Heisman moment when he jumped over our DB and mm-hmm. – I basically was going to fire my entire staff. Hold on a second. I got a cough. So, excuse me. So the ACC meetings, the next year at the ACC meeting, I go there. And you ask him this story. I walk up, and he's sitting there, and he goes, and he's looking at me, and I'm walking right to him. And I walk right up to him. His head coach is right there. And I take my finger, and I touch it right on his body. I'm like, just touch his body. And he looks at me like, Coach Babers, what are you doing? He says, I just want to let my guys know that it is possible that we can touch you.
Oh, man.
Ah, that's good.
All right, be well. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
All right, you guys. Have a good one.
Dino Babers, head coach of the Orange.
Great.
Syracuse, Louisville. That's a high noon start on ESPN3 on Saturday.
That's a good game. Competitive game.
Thanks to Tyler Caddy, by the way, who is our football SID at Syracuse, does a great job supporting us. We appreciate his help. And Coach Babers as well for joining us. Hashtag thank your SID. Those guys have been the backbone of what we try and get done here on ACC Network. Sit tight. Power Hour's next. Dave Dorn coming up 9:30. Little recap of the weekend. Oh, and wide receiver U nominees.
A bunch.
Lots. Coming up at 9:15. Sit tight. Packer and Durham, presented on Monday by Subway.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.